I'm Nick Spitzer. This is American Roots with the beloved unconventional couple of country music, Marty Stewart and Connie Smith. Marty Stewart grew up in Philadelphia, Mississippi, learning the old-time country music. He'd mastered mandolin by age 12, played with Lester Flatt and many others, and is now a leading proponent of traditional country music on the Grand Ole Opry. We've talked before with Marty about music, his photography, and museum collections. And by the way, Marty Stewart was born in 1958. In a moment, we'll meet his wife, the well-respected country singer Connie Smith, born in 1941. Smith grew up in a small town in Ohio. Her parents were from West Virginia, and it was a large combined family of 14 kids. Connie picks it up for us.
I went to hear George Jones at a show near Columbus, Ohio, and somebody told us the schedule wrong, and he'd been there the week before. And when we got there, they had a talent contest every week, and my friends and family talked me into entering the talent contest, and I won, got to sing on the Grand Ole Opry show that night, and met Bill Anderson. And through that, he invited me to Nashville, and it just happened.
And over the years, of course, you made many recordings of his songs.
Yeah, well, my first record was one of his, and it went to number one, was there for 8 weeks, and it just kind of thought, well, okay, I'll do this.
Once a day.
Basically, it wasn't something I really sought after. I think it sought me out.
It's interesting you put it that way. Marty, you grew up in northern Mississippi. We don't always think of Mississippi as a place of country music. We probably first think of the blues. Mm-hmm. There was country music around Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Philadelphia, central Mississippi. And it's 35 miles from where Jimmy Rogers came from. And, you know, also Tammy Wynette was one of ours. Charlie Pride was one of ours. So when I was growing up, country music was very much a part of the lifestyle down there because it's country people. But regardless whether you go to church or listen to rock and roll or country music or the blues, everything has a touch of the blues in it down there. I got a Beatles record that said Meet the Beatles, and I gave it away and kept Johnny Cash and Flight and Scruggs.
I ain't going to work on the railroad. I ain't going to work on the farm. Lay around the shack to bed.
Your mother, I know, is a photographer and brought you into the world of photography. And the first big photographic moment you had was taking a picture of the lady sitting next to you.
That's right.
Can you set that scene?
Sure. Our local radio station was WHOC, and the personality on the radio was Joe Vines. And Joe Vines made the announcement one afternoon that coming to the 1970 Choctaw Indian Fair was Grand Ole Opry star Pretty Miss Connie Smith, and they played, you know, her song. And I went tearing through the house to find my mother because Connie was Mama's favorite singer. We had that record up there called Miss Smith Goes to Nashville. And I would leave it on the stereo so I could go by and look at her picture because I thought she was so pretty. The day of the show, my mom took her camera, of course, and me and my sister got our picture made with Connie, and I got her autograph and talked to her musicians. But on the way home that night, I told my mom I was going to marry her. And I think I was 12. How old were you?
29.
Yeah. So there you go.
It seems like a plan that worked out.
It worked out.
It did.
Fine.
I didn't know this, though, for about 25 years.
I was going to say, what do you remember of that occasion?
I remember him coming up on stage at 12 years old, talking to Weldon Myrick, the steel guitar player that played on most of my records. And he was asking Weldon what gauge strings and all about the steel. And I thought, how does this kid know to even ask these questions? And that's the reason that I remembered meeting him that day.
I had Mama take me and buy me a new shirt so Connie would notice me.
Well, Did Connie ever go off your radar after you made that photograph of her when you were 12? Did you ever kind of lose sight of, oh, well, that was a great night. Now I'm going out and I'm playing with Lester Flatt and I'm learning my way into the showbiz and old-time music and bluegrass in the country? I mean, did you ever forget about Connie
Smith? Not really, because she, first of all, being around the Grand Ole Opry, it's kind of a big family in its own way. And Connie Smith was just kind of an eternal presence, a part of our family life. You know, it's funny, back in those days in the 60s in the Mississippi, when Flatt and Scruggs broke up, I had never met him yet, but it was like we lost a piece of our family. Those kind of folks were family to us. It was a way of life. The Grand Ole Opry was a way of life in our house. And Connie Smith was just a part of our life. And as years went on at the Opry, I would see her in the hallway, you know, never really had a conversation or anything with her because maybe she was always a little bit unapproachable to me, you know, bigger than life. But one day, there was some silly event around fanfare, a celebrity softball game.
I was third baseman in celebrity softball.
And I sat down next to Connie backstage, you know, before the event started, and we just had a wonderful conversation. That was the first time I ever felt like I really connected with Connie.
We met and started talking about music.
But just between you and me, I've got my doubts about it. 'Cause just between you and me, you're too much to forget.
Musically, I was really impressed with what he knew and what he talked about. So when I saw him at the Opry after that, I asked him if he'd be interested in working with me. And he said yes. And the first thing he did was pick up the phone and call Harlan Howard. And 3 days later, we got together and wrote the first song that we wrote with Harlan. And then after that, we've probably written, 40 or 50 songs.
So in reality, Nick, this relationship is founded on a shuffle. A Harlan Howard shuffle.
That's right.
You know, the bottom line of every bit of this, and what I did recognize in all the midst of it, was it's a wonderful thing when you've been rambling and gambling and roving and crazy for many, many years, and when your heart finds a home. And when your heart finds a home, that's when life starts. And that was what happened when I met Connie.
And I love his hair.
Yeah. It was black when I met her. You see how gray it
see
is
what
now.
I did to him?
Yeah, right.
Run to you when I'm lonely. I run to you when I'm feeling blue. Each step I take leads to you only.
Generationally, you're together, but you're at the edges of maybe a generation from one another. Are there issues of how you stay in sync as a couple?
No.
Part of the thing, time is he tells me he's older than I am. And
true.
In some ways, he is.
With the hair getting grayer faster.
He's an old soul. And he grew up around people older than me. They were his friends. And he grew up kind of in the generation that was one ahead of me.
Music is a great common denominator.
Yeah.
And a shared musical vision has a lot of power. In the 90s, my goal and my mission was to get famous, take country music to a new generation of people, present it in a different fashion. The job at hand was, you know, make young people like it. Turn it up loud and play rock and roll, but really call it country music. But somewhere along the way, that looked really not authentic to me. And it just looked like product. And that's when I made a record called The Pilgrim and started down a different path. It was along the same time as me and Connie got married. And I just drew a line in the dirt, threw everything away I'd ever accomplished and started over. Went back to my heart.
What would you both like to see happen as time passes for you, in music and in life?
As far as I'm concerned, and I know Marty's with me because we've talked about it, our hearts long and ache for some young people that really are called into the music industry to come in and love the traditional country music and carry on.
It's a phase we're going through right now. The thing I loved when I first came to town is everybody was encouraged to bring their culture to the table. It's kind of the ticket to getting in, is you had to bring who and what you really were. And today you kind of have to homogenize yourself to get entered. I used to love when I was in Lester Flatt's band, we would play for a lot of college audiences in the early 70s. And I would see these kids sitting there, and all of a sudden I'd see tears in their eyes and going, ah, your heart's coming to life. It's called country music, and it's touching your heart. And a Hank Williams song or a Connie Smith song are some of the things that we do. If you live long enough, country music will apply to your life. It will. George Jones and Merle Haggard know what they're writing and talking about.
You're either going to lose your wife or your dog or something.
Yeah. It's true.
Time won't heal these blue heartaches. Oh, I've done all that I
talking with the musical couple Connie Smith and Marty Stewart in Nashville, and a bit of Connie's song, Blue Heartaches. We've got a few strong musical treatments of love and loss over the course of life, beginning with a song written and sung by Mick Jagger on his 1992 CD, Wandering Spirit, Evening Gown on American Roots.
People say I'm high class, but I'm low down all the while. People think that I'm crazy when I flash that California smile. But I can still paint the town all the colors of your gray. People say
Far across the deep blue water lives an old German's daughter. On the banks of the old River Rhine, there I loved her and left her, and I can't forget her. Oh, she was my pretty Fräulein. Well, Fräulein, Fräulein, walk down by the river tonight. When those stars start to shine, by those same stars above you, well, I swear that I love you. Oh, you are my pretty Fräulein. When my memory wanders away over yonder to the one that I left behind, in a moment of glory, her face comes before me, the face of my pretty Fräulein. Well, Fräulein, Fräulein, walk down by the river tonight. When the stars start to shine, shine by those same stars above you, well, I swear that I love you. Oh, you are my pretty Fräulein.
I want you to dig my grave wide and deep. 2, 3 spoke just to let me down, and someone to sing a song.
Mance Lipscomb, a sharecropper from the East Texas bottomlands near Navasota, on guitar 1960, singing for the Arhuli label. The tune by Mance, Ain't It Hard. It's about love that just doesn't happen. Before that, another Texas songman, the late Towns Van Zandt of Houston, who was a great admirer of Mance Lipscomb. And that's from Van Zandt's 1972 LP, The Late Great Towns Van Zandt. The song was Fräulein, written after World War II by Lawton Williams, who's said to have had his heart broken by a Fräulein. It was a 1957 hit for Bobby Helms and very popular with GIs who'd served. We'll be back to speak with the Black Keys about how they began making music when American Roots returns.